Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
Everybody, listen carefully.
This guy gets it.
Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
I'm Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Roman Josi of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Eustace Aros of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Rafa Grimaldi of the Nashville Predators.
And you're listening to the Renegades of Puck.
Broadcasting live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. And against all better judgment, this is Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all-skate around the NHL with all the news, highlights, scores, and more.
This is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predators,
and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie.
Welcome to Smashville.
From their episode of Predneck Nation Radio. That's right, it's a Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier, and the Renegades of Puck are in the trenches this morning, talking all things that happened last night for the Nashville Predators in Carolina, previewing the next game for the Nashville Predators against the Carolina Hurricanes, and also talking all things Nashville Predators hockey and Central Division and NHL hockey. We wake up this morning with your Nashville Predators still sitting in fourth place in the Central Division. That is a playoff position with just 11 games to go in the season. The Nashville Predators have played 45 games on the season. They have a record of 24-20-1. That is good for 49 points on the season. They are 4 points clear of the Chicago Blackhawks, and they are 5 points clear of the Dallas Stars, though the Dallas Stars have 3 games in hand over the Nashville Predators. They are 10 points clear of the Columbus Blue Jackets, and that's why I am declaring the Columbus Blue Jackets officially out of the conversation as of this morning. The Detroit Red Wings are playing spoiler right now and having a good time doing it, and they'll have plenty more opportunities to do that down the stretch. The Nashville Predators, good and done with the Wings in a 6-2 regular season series. So good luck and Godspeed to you, Detroit. Have fun beating the crap out of everyone else in the division if you would be so kind as to do so over the final 10 games of the season. The Nashville Predators' next opponent is the first place team in the Central Division, the Carolina Hurricanes. That's their last opponent as well. We'll recap what happened last night. We'll preview what's going to happen on Saturday night. The Canes have played 42 games this season. They have a record of 28-10-4. They have 60 points. They are tied with Tampa Bay, but they have played one less point than the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Florida Panthers sit in third place with 59 points. On home ice, the Carolina Hurricanes simply dominant this season. The best record within the division, 15-3-4 on home ice, while the Nashville Predators are maintaining a .500 record on the road at 11-11-1. The Canes have scored 137 goals on the season, while the Predators have scored 120. For the Nashville Predators and the Carolina Hurricanes, they have this game to go, and then two more before the end of the regular season. As a matter of fact, the next two games will end the regular season. That will come on May the 8th and May the 10th, when Carolina will come to Nashville for its second and final trip of the regular season. Let's recap the season series to this point. It began all the way back on January the 18th when the Predators fell at home ice to Carolina 4-2. Rene took the loss with only 20 saves. Forsberg and Arvidsson had the goals for the Preds, the duplicate score in the next game, but it wouldn't happen until March the 2nd because Carolina had to postpone and reschedule due to COVID concerns. Another 4-2 game, Aho with 2 goals against the Preds, and the Predators are 0-2 against Carolina already before heading off to Carolina for the first time. They would drop this next game in overtime, 3-2. Rene would take the loss with 32 saves. Johansson and Benning would have your goals. And for Nashville, it is their only overtime or shootout loss of the entire season. Only Tampa Bay even close to the Predators with 2. Everyone else, 4, 5, and then, of course, the Dallas Stars. And yes, you should chuckle when you see 12 overtime losses. So the Preds dropped 2-1 to Carolina, 3-2 in overtime. Then they'd follow that up with a 5-1 loss against the Carolina Hurricanes, where they would not look very good at all. Rene, 18 out of 23. Cousins gets the only goal for the Preds. And of course, just last night, the Nashville Predators fall to Carolina in Carolina, 4-1. UC Saros gets the start, takes the loss, 25 out of 29. Trocheck, Svechnikov, 2 points each in this game. Fogle also with a goal against the Nashville Predators. So after 5 games in this 8-game regular season series, the Nashville Predators are now 0-4-1. They've only managed to secure 1 out of a possible 10 points, and they have been outscored 20-8 on the season. The Nashville Predators within the record. The Carolina Hurricanes are the only team they have not secured a victory against this season. And while the regular season series was very lopsided against Tampa Bay, at least picking up two victories seems much more impactful at this point. The Nashville Predators need to find a way to at least get two out of these three against Carolina. I think that it's going to be very important, considering going into last night, a quarter or a third of the Predators' games remaining were against Carolina. The Preds also have a 2-4 record against Florida, but then they've handled their business against the teams below them in the standings. 5-0 against Chicago, 4-3 against Dallas, 5-1 against Columbus, and I've already mentioned 6-2 against the Detroit Red Wings. Once these two teams wrap up tonight, the Predators will have 10 games remaining. 6 home, 4 on the road. Monday, the Nashville Predators will take on the Chicago Blackhawks in the first of 3 games. So Monday at Bridgestone Arena, Wednesday and Friday in Chicago. Of course, with the Predators being 4th in the division, Chicago being 5th in the division, and it basically being a 3-team race for that final spot, these 3 games are going to be critically important. Then the Nashville Predators will take on the Florida Panthers for the final 2 times of the season. They'll wrap up the regular season series against Dallas at Bridgestone Arena in a standalone game on the 1st of May. 2 at Columbus will wrap up the road schedule for the Predators, and then we already mentioned they'll come back home and complete the schedule on home ice this season against the Carolina Hurricanes. So just 10 games to go after this game against the Carolina Hurricanes. How does the Predators' schedule stack up against the other two teams that they are fighting it out with for that 4th spot? Well, for Chicago, they have 12 games remaining. 7 of those will come on home, 5 on the road. Of course, 3 of them against Nashville, as we just mentioned. 1 of them at Detroit. That'll be their next game. 1 versus Tampa, 2 versus Florida. 3 of them at Carolina. That is going to be a very impactful and important moment. So for this Chicago Blackhawks team to find success, they're going to have to find a way to survive a 3-game series against the Nashville Predators and then a 3-game road trip to Carolina. Not looking great for the Chicago Blackhawks. The Preds will have to handle that business, though. The Dallas Stars, 5 home, 9 road remaining because of all the scheduling conflicts and all of the issues they've had throughout the season. Power outages, ice storms, COVID-related issues. Well, they have been falling way behind the pace of the Central Division, so still 3 games at hand. 1 of those will be versus Columbus, 4 of them against the Detroit Red Wings. I mentioned the Wings having an opportunity to play spoiler. Well, if they can handle 2 home and 2 away against the Dallas Stars, then Detroit Red Wings could end up helping the Nashville Predators secure that number 4 spot. 2 versus Carolina, 3 at Tampa Bay, 1 at Florida, 1 at Nashville, 2 at Chicago. So Chicago-Dallas will end the season facing off against each other. Again, that could be a big help to the Nashville Predators. We'll be mentioning these things quite a bit over the next couple of weeks as we come down to the final stretch of the regular season. This shortened 56-game regular season has already cruised by, and we are just about at its completion. Last night in action on the ice among the Central Division, it was the top 3 teams all picking up points. The Nashville Predators unable to pick up a point. Here were your finals and your results. Tampa Bay defeated Florida 3-2 in overtime, and it was Detroit beating Chicago 4-1. Thank you, Red Wings. And then it was Dallas beating the Columbus Blue Jackets in regulation 4-1 on the division schedule upcoming next. Florida in Tampa Bay, Chicago at Detroit, Columbus at Dallas. Taking a look at the Carolina Hurricanes in their previous 5 games, it was back on April the 6th, a 5-2 win versus Florida, and then they followed that up with a 3-0 win versus Florida. This is where they got their attitude back, though. Falling versus Detroit 5-4 in a shootout, then falling versus Detroit 3-1, both on home ice, and that explains a lot of why the Carolina Hurricanes were in a mood last night coming out in that game. They defeat the Nashville Predators, of course, 4-1. Mrazek makes 19 out of 20 saves in that one. Taking a look inside the numbers for these two teams, respectively, and the Carolina Hurricanes, well, their statistical metrics mark near the top 10 in every single thing. Goals for 3.17 is 10th in the NHL. Their goals against is 4th in the league. They're generating the 5th most shots in the league while giving up the 6th least shots in the NHL. Their power play is 1st in the NHL. They've converted 36 times this season on 127 opportunities. Their penalty kill is 83.8%. That is best for 5th in the league. Taking a look on the other side of the ledger at the Preds' numbers, 2.56 goals per game is 26th overall in the NHL, while their goals against at 2.82, looking more respectable than it had in the past, but still just 15th in the NHL. Shots for it, 17th in the NHL. That statistical category has actually been dropping. Of course, earlier in the season, the Predators were generating tons of quantity, not necessarily quality. Right now, they're not generating quantity or quality on the net these last couple of games. 17th in the league in shots against advanced as well. The power play 21st, sinking quickly without Tolvin and Forsberg, and looking extremely lifeless last night. I have things to talk about with Chauncey Smith coming up here in the third period this morning. Stay tuned for that. Let's finish with this recap. 25 out of 130 in power play opportunities for the Preds. And, of course, the penalty kill rated 28th in the league, 74.5% by conversion. They've given up 36 power play goals against. That is more than two than any other team in the NHL. Injuries, the biggest story for this Nashville Predators. And I want to see these players back in the lineup. And I want to see these players back in the lineup very soon. Forsberg, Tolvanen, Duchesne, Fabro, Carrier, and the rest of the guys are injured too. There's so many names on this list. I'm not a hospital readout, so I'm not going to sit here and read off every single name of every injured player every single time we do this. The impact players out of the lineup, though, essentially an entire first or second line in Forsberg, Tolvanen, and Duchesne. Three top six forwards. Fabro, Carrier, both top four defensemen, or at least had been representing as top four defensemen with other injuries when they were both injured. Forsberg still leads the team in scoring with 29 points, with Roman Josi closing the gap very quickly now after 38 games skated. The captain of the Nashville Predators has 5 goals and 22 assists. That's good for 27 points overall. Victor Arvidsson also heating up recently. 44 games skated, 24 points on the season. Kelly Yarncroke has 11 goals and 9 assists for 20 points. After that, you'll see Tolvanen at 19, and then you'll find Granlund at 18, Ekholm at 17, Johansson at 15 points in net for the Nashville Predators. Juuse Saros' season numbers have just become very impressive to look at now. 26 games skated, 15-8, a 2.24 goals against average, and a 9.26 save percentage. No, it didn't go his way last night, but rarely does it go anybody's way when they have to go off to Carolina. And when you talk about Carolina, you have to mention Sebastian Aho right off the top. 42 games skated, and how he's not a household name around the NHL, I do not understand. He is simply one of the most impressive players in the league right now, and he should strike fear into every opponent the second he gets the puck on his stick, no matter what he decides to do, whether he's skating with it on the rush, shooting it, or passing it. He is simply next level at everything. 42 games skated, 18 goals and 21 assists. That is good for 39 points. Vincent Trocheck, 17 goals and 19 assists for 36 points. And Trocheck has just been absolutely tearing the Predators up since he has gone to Carolina. Doug Hamilton, 42 points, 6 goals, 28 assists, 34 points. Probably another defenseman in the Central Division in the Norris Trophy conversation for this season. And honestly, you can continue going down the list. You get all the way to Svechnikov at 30 points before Niederreiter at 27 and the drop-off to 21. Any way you slice it, the Carolina Hurricanes have a dynamic offense and a very, very good skill set, and they have been forged by fire over losing to Tampa Bay within their regular divisional alignment these last few seasons, by losing to Washington over these last few seasons in their traditional divisional alignment, and you can see how Carolina has built. They have progressed, and they are ready. They don't only have the skill, they have the work ethic out there, and they have a bit of toughness to bring it to these top teams in the Central Division. Peter Mrazek back in net against the Nashville Predators last night. 8 games skated on the season now, a 5-1-1 record of 1.41 goals against average, a 9.44 save percentage. Reimer, the primary goaltender, while Mrazek was out injured. 20 games skated, 14-5-1, a 2.68 and a 9.07. And Nedeljkovic played really well filling in this season. 9-4-2, a 1.98 and a 9.28 save percentage. The Carolina Hurricanes actually have 3 pretty good options when it comes to what they're going to do in net moving forward. But you got to expect, with the success of Reimer and Mrazek against the Nashville Predators, if the Predators are in the Carolina Hurricanes' future, whether it's just 3 more regular season games or whether the Preds find themselves in a best of 7 against the Canes at some point, you have to anticipate that goaltending matchup is going to be very difficult for this Nashville Predators team to overcome, as they have had difficulty with both of those guys over their entire careers. Mastrodamus will talk about that extensively in the second period. But first, let's go back and recap everything that happened last night between the Nashville Predators and the Carolina Hurricanes. Your lines: Grimaldi, Johansson, and Arvidsson, Yarncroke, Granlund, and Cunnan, Pitlick, Halla, and Cousins, and fourth line: Trenin, Sissons, and Janot. Josi and Benning, Ekholm and Ellis, Davies and Harper make up your D pairs, and Juuse Saros gets the start against the Carolina Hurricanes. Only game 5 out of an 8-game regular season series. While the Preds are already closing out other regular season series against teams, they're just getting to the middle point of this one against the Carolina. So what they're able to do against the Canes will go a long way to see where they end up in the final standings and possibly in that fourth playoff spot. 15 seconds into the first period, it's Ryan Ellis hitting the crossbar. Tough omen for the Nashville Predators
early as they were unable to get this puck in after a good early turnover forced by a good Preds forecheck. 54 seconds in the first period, Bean 2 minutes for roughing on Janot. Retaliation for a big clean hit in the corner. Bean got up and he went right after Janot, and that's just another indication of what Janot is bringing to the team. He not only knocked Bean flat on his ass, but then stood there and took the retaliation and drew a power play for his Nashville Predators team. Granlund, unfortunately, will be off to the box 2 minutes for hooking on Aho, and the Preds just sloppy on the breakout anyway in the opportunities that they had. The 4-on-4 would not go very well for the Nashville Predators, and not any special team scenario goes very well against this Carolina Hurricanes team. The 4-on-4 would pass by at 109. The Carolina Hurricanes would get a power play for 51 seconds. The penalty kill would be good enough. Surviving against the number one power play in the NHL is good enough. A 9:07, Paquette can't connect with the bouncing puck on the doorstep. UC Saros does not have to come up with a big save right here, but this was a great opportunity for the Carolina Hurricanes. Mrazek at 10:07, save on Cousins after Pitlick with the absolutely sick distribution. 12:34, Saros save on a long shot, and then Svechnikov is there with the backhand rebound. As a matter of fact, Svechnikov got the tip on the long shot on the way in, then gets the rebound, backhand opportunity, saved by UC Saros in close with the glove. 16:04, Paquette's off to the box, 2 minutes for interference. Decent zone time for the Nashville Predators, but Carolina is extremely disciplined, and they have very good technique, and the Nashville Predators are unable to do anything. Unfortunate, because at 18:26, Fogle would put the Canes on the board with their first goal of the game and his ninth goal of the season. It was Staal absolutely outracing every Nashville Predator and getting to the loose puck down in the corner, and at the same time making a perfect pass to a crashing Fogle in the slot. Everything about this Carolina did absolutely perfect. And the Nashville Predators, they lost a foot race. They lost a little bit of coverage. And they got beaten by Carolina, who did what they do best. Score quickly and off the rush. Carolina has a 1-0 lead in the first period. 19:43. Fostin Johansson off the box, 2 minutes each. Arvidsson went down hard in the corner initially. Looked like a very dirty hit, and you could claim that the hand was on the small of the back, but I didn't see a whole lot of push. More of a combination of losing the edge, going into the corner, and also having slight contact for Victor Arvidsson overall. I'm just glad to see that he got up and went back to the bench, was able to remain taking his normal shift. This did lead to a brief scuffle where Johansson stepped in and wanted to stick up for Victor Arvidsson, so Johansson ends up picking up a penalty. We hit the 4-on-4 scenario, and we go to the end of the first period. That'll carry over for 1:47. Carolina outshoots Nashville 6-5 in the first period. 14 seconds into the second on that 4-on-4 carryover, Svechnikov's got his 11th goal of the season. It's a 2-0 lead for Carolina. He just sliced right through Josi and Ellis and finishes easy on UC Saros. High skill right here coming from Svechnikov. 3:53, UC Saros comes up with a glove save on Aho. 4:43, Trenin stopped at the post by Mrazek. He was confounded that this puck did not end up in the net. Mrazek, one of his better saves, one of the more challenging saves he had to make in this game. And again, he makes the big save, and the Carolina Hurricanes turn right back around, and they add to their lead, now making it 3-0 on Trocheck, 17th of the season. Now listen, you have got to give it up to Trocheck on this one. He absolutely set UC Saros up for this. He freezes him. He shoots the puck low, intentionally getting a rebound. And we see this play a lot where high-skilled players freeze the goaltender and take the low shot, trying to get the pass over to the other side, playing a little billiards, playing it off the wall, playing the angle. This was an opportunity, though, where Trocheck shoots it to get his own rebound, and he converts top shelf. Overall, one of the more high-skill, better goals that you will see against this Nashville Predators team, and you got to give it up to Trocheck. That was highly impressive. I know you don't want to give it up to him, but you have to. Stick taps when a guy makes a play like that. 3-0 in favor of the Canes. What will the Preds do the second half of this game? What will they do to hang in there? At 6:35, Mrazek would make a save on Davies with a rebound attempt. The Nashville Predators would get a power play opportunity at 7:31, but Josi and Granlund would run into each other at the blue line, and I made a note about it just simply being too sloppy for the Nashville Predators to convert on this power play. 14:22, Saros save on Geeky after a turnover. He brought it in with speed and let a good shot go. 16:23, Ekholm and Svechnikov Svechnikov looked like they were going to drop the gloves, but it ends up just being 2 minutes for wrestling. 4-on-4. Hamilton would hit the post during that 4-on-4. We hit the end of the second period, and the Carolina Hurricanes just simply dominating every facet of this game at this point. They're up 3-0, and they're out shooting the Nashville Predators 20-12. 2:49 of the third period. Saros save on Aho's give and go. And we see the Nashville Predators get another opportunity for a power play at 5:32. But at this moment, we see an icing on offsides, turnovers, and just plain bad hockey. When you have the extra man advantage, it simply cannot look like that. Your penalty kill unit against the number one power play in the NHL cannot look better than your power play unit does on all of your opportunities combined. Not acceptable. That's why I'm going to talk to Sean C. Smith in great detail about that in just a couple of minutes. 8:32, Benning's off to the box, 2 minutes for high sticking. I mentioned that penalty kill unit will give Hall of the stick taps right here for his fifth goal of the season. He gets sprung for a breakaway by Colton Sissons, and he converts on that breakaway. He gets the Preds on the board. We got a 3-1 hockey game and a little bit of time to go. The Preds, or I should say Halla, would try to bring the Nashville Predators back into this game. He'd get another scoring opportunity very quickly after scoring his fifth goal of the season. Then at 12:29, he'd get another shot plus a rebound opportunity. Both had to be stopped by Mrazek. So he had four scoring chances in a brief period of time in the third period, was able to convert on one. If only other Nashville Predators had been able to get scoring opportunities like that throughout this game, who knows what could have been. The Preds go to the box with a too many men penalty. 2 minutes at 16:51 of the third period. Aho converts his 18th. Carolina's up 4-1. That is your final. Carolina outshoots Nashville 29-20, and I know some people want to point out the first few minutes of this game, it seemed like the Nashville Predators were in it, and they were working, and they were doing the things that you're used to them doing, but I'm going to tell you, this team never looked right after maybe the first shift of the game. They never were quite in this. The fourth line was the only noticeable line on the ice for the entire night. Hollow was the most noticeable player for the Nashville Predators, and there's only so much UC Saros can do back there when it comes to stopping the Carolina Hurricanes. When you're going to get outraced in your own D zone, when you're going to turn the puck over, when you're going to give up great opportunities for Carolina like that, you are going to get burned. Listen, the Nashville Predators, this is not the same game that we talked about on Saturday night where they came out and they gave it to the Tampa Bay Lightning and they just got beaten, and you just got to say sometimes the better team wins the game. This was a night where the Nashville Predators just did not have it. And listen, they've had an awful lot as of late. So not a lot to get upset about. What you want to see now is you want to see the Predators rebound, and you want to see them come back, and you want to see them challenge that Carolina Hurricanes team on Saturday. Anything less than that will be concerning to me. I want to see them come back up, step back up, and get right back on it, and get right back in there and continue playing the hockey that's inspired all of us to be vibing as of late. I am your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonia. We've gone back and we've talked about everything that happened last night. We've got you set up for Saturday. Now we need to talk about individual performances, box scores, get some analysis, and get some opinions, and there's no better group to do that than with the Renegades of Puck. Sean C. Smith will be here in the third period. We're going to talk power play and specifics with him. Mastrodamus is up next. Next, I need to know how the Predators are going to beat this Carolina Hurricanes goalie tandem in the final three regular season matchups of the season. I also need to find out what happened last night from some of these individual performances and just what happened with this Nashville Predators team. And then, of course, Brian Bastin from the Renegade Analytics Desk. He's got the charts you need to see and the numbers you need to know. That's why he'll be coming up to close out the show just before the end of OT. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonia. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio right here on Nashville Sports Radio. You are in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck.
Hockey players are as unique as the game itself, and your uniform should be tailored to fit you. Rebirth Sports is your sports apparel tailor. From shells, bags, warm-ups, hats, hoodies, branding, and more, let Rebirth Sports be your custom hockey tailor.
And don't forget to tell them they do more than just hockey.
Rebirth Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Rebirth Sports and Predneck Nation, a match made in hockey.
I'm UC Saros of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
UC Soros bringing us back from break right there. Unfortunately for the Nashville Predators, netminder as hot as he has been as of late, there's nothing you can do sometimes when a team just gets an attitude and decides they're going to impose their will against you. 25 out of 29 last night. We'll talk to Mastrodamus here in the next segment about all things Nashville Predators netminders and also how the Nashville Predators are going to find a way to beat the Carolina Hurricanes tandem of netminders. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. Welcome back in with the Renegades of Puck. You are in the trenches here on Nashville Sports Radio. And remember, you heard Rebirth Sports bringing us back from break. We would appreciate if you would follow them on all of their social media and also check out their fantastic work. They do incredible stuff. You see on the top of WNSR.com, you see me wearing a Mighty Drunks jersey. Well, real soon, you're going to see that picture replaced with me wearing a Renegades of Puck jersey made by Rebirth Sports. Cannot wait to get that box in the mail. Cannot wait to start with some of the clandestine activities that are going to come around those jerseys, how you can get a jersey, how we're going to be giving away jerseys, how you can earn the jersey here from the Renegades of Puck. Cannot wait. Rebirth Sports, make sure you're checking them out. Very much appreciate them on a Friday morning jumping up and listening to us in the office. They do fantastic work, and we love being in partnership with them. Here to talk to me about all things Nashville Predators, especially concerning the special teams and the power play, will be isolated in this conversation to a very, very microscopic degree. It's Sean C. Smith from OnTheForeCheck.com. You can find him on Twitter at SCSOTF. That's at SCSOTF. He's got the intel that you need to know. He's got the boots on the ground, and he's got direct conversations with not just the head coach of the Nashville Predators, but also following up with the head coach of the Milwaukee Admirals. Fantastic stuff from you, Sean C. Smith, in your conversations the other afternoon. Appreciate you keeping the Renegades updated between shows, between games, and your Twitter feed is a must. So everyone, at SCSOTF, Sean, good morning. How are you, my friend?
Charlie, I'm great this morning. I'm ready to go, and I'm ready to earn my jersey. So,
Sean, I got to tell you, man, I needed you for a very specific reason right here. We need to talk about what's happened to the power play. It was trending in such an upward direction. Tolvanen and Forsberg seem to be developing some chemistry through growth of mustaches. Roman Josi was pivoting at the top. Things were just looking perfect. It was trending in such a great direction. We were having a lot of fun talking about it, and now we've seen a complete power outage on the power play. Tolvanen and Forsberg going out of the lineup, of course, is the key reason for that. Sean, I set you up for that. Last night really was maybe the worst examples of power plays we've seen from this Predators team in a very long time, and right now, clearly, without Tolvanen, without Forsberg, this power play unit is listless. Talk to me about all of that. Take me through it and take your time, because there's a lot of microscopic detail we need to get into here.
Okay, so if you really want to understand why the power play is struggling right now, you have to understand what made the power play successful when Tolvanen and Forsberg were playing on it. So I'm going to go back in time and talk about how that started to work. So, you know, first, when Elie Tolvanen was added to that first power play unit, Philip Forsberg was on the right side, Tolvanen on the left. The Predators are able to force their opponents to worry about a scoring threat on both sides of the ice. Now, most successful power plays focus on drawing the opposing team to one side in order to open up the other side of the ice, create a shooting lane for their sniper. Think about the way Alex Ovechkin works. Think about how the Capitals do that. So Elie Tolvanen's wrist shot works with laser precision and is absolutely disgusting. He picks corners. He can beat goalies with his speed. Forsberg, on the other side of the ice, can get the puck to the front of the net and create rebounds for the guys up close, or he can rip off a wrist shot when he sees the right opportunity. You add Roman Josi to the back of that zone. That's just another element. He can bring in booming slap shots, but also elite passing. So at any point that puck was out on the perimeter, regardless of who had it, there were at least three things that the defenders had to consider at any given time: a shot to defend from anybody, a pass to try to break up from anybody, and movement that they had to change their position for. No matter what was going on, they had to think about all three of those things. Adding in Mikael Granlund in front of the net, who, regardless of what he told me when I asked him, has clearly focused on improving his placement in front of the goalie to take away his eyes, and you have created a perfect storm for the other team to deal with. But now, subtract Tolvanen and Forsberg from that equation, and the dynamic has changed dramatically. So that lack of the elite wrist shot on the left side just greatly reduces the effectiveness of that power play setup. You may still have players on both sides that can take decent shots, But on the left, you've lost Tolvanen's sniping ability, and on the right, you've taken away Forsberg's passing ability. The end result is a power play that's very predictable, almost as much so as the old power play setup that relied on shots from the point. Now, what seemed to happen last night? Totally unrelated to that, and that's what's interesting, is that it really had nothing to do with missing Tolvanen and missing Forsberg. It had a lot to do with started in the faceoff circle. The Predators couldn't seem to win a faceoff on the power play. And I noticed this while I was watching the game, and I was like, gosh, they don't seem to be winning these faceoffs. But then after the game, this is something Hines brought up. You know, losing the faceoff caused the team to have to forecheck to gain possession, which not only wastes time, but even when they were able to gain possession of that puck back, it just made it that much harder to get set up from down behind the goal. And even when the team managed to win the faceoff, they weren't winning them cleanly. They were forced to drop back to the neutral zone to get set up, which, of course, also takes a lot of time off the clock. But it also gave the Hurricanes a chance to make it harder to re-enter the zone. They stood guys up at the blue line. They forced dump-ins. And when you have to work harder to enter the zone on a power play or have to work harder to get set up in the zone on the power play, your chances of converting are much, much worse. Tolvanen and Forsberg can't get back to this team fast enough. And I'm not saying that one loss to the Hurricanes is the end of the world, but the power play before the addition of Tolvanen was a hindrance to the team. And now the power play without Tolvanen and Forsberg, again, is back to what was going on at the beginning of the season. Predators had plenty of chances on the power play last night. When 5-on-5 isn't working, the power play can be that great equalizer. And if you're going to have a guy like Nick Cousins on your team that can antagonize the other team and just draw penalties out of the air, you have to convert.
And it was the type of game last night where those players could draw penalties. It was a very physical, sometimes over the line game, especially early on. So when I see a power play last night that had an icing, an offsides, a turnover, and two guys colliding into each other at the blue line, that's just plain bad hockey. And Sean, we needed to get into a discuss, and I appreciate you taking us through the analysis on that. Coach Hines, no doubt, he said he had to fix things. They're going to work on some things, and I hope that they can get that worked out before Saturday night, because they will be facing off against the fifth best penalty kill in the NHL in the Carolina Hurricanes. Sean, what else did the head coach say after the game last night? The Nashville Predators, they've been on an absolute roll as of late. There's not been a whole lot to be highly critical of. This was just a night where I felt like, start to finish, the Preds did not quite have it. The Carolina Hurricanes were definitely in a bad mood after losing two games on home ice against the Detroit Red Wings coming into this one. And for the Preds, they've had incredible difficulty against that goaltending tandem. They've had a lot of difficulty against the Carolina Hurricanes over the last couple of seasons. What else did the coach have to say, and what else were your impressions after the game last night?
It was interesting that a lot of what Hines had to say after the game was very similar to some of the things he had talked about before the game in his post-practice availability, where he praised his neutral zone efforts by the team and how well they had done against Tampa Bay to really make it difficult for Tampa Bay to get through the zone cleanly or even to get through at all with a lot of turnovers. So it was very surprising to come into this game against the Carolina Hurricanes and see that neutral zone strategy not really play off. And, you know, Hines, he doesn't really, like, he'll call things out in public, but he's not the kind who's going to go back to the locker room and make the paint peel off the walls. So he said, let's take the lessons from the game and move on. He clearly said they were going to work on those face-offs, and he was going to work with the team on re-entering the zone. And, you know, when he's willing to call something like that out in public, again, doesn't necessarily mean that this is that John Hines is going into that locker room screaming, but he's a teaching coach. He's going to go through, he's going to work with the team to make sure that they are doing what they need to do before they go into the next game to correct that problem. So I would expect to see some improvements by the time the teams meet again on Saturday. But realistically here, failure to score on the power play was one thing, but you know, facing that much difficulty, getting set up is another thing entirely. And when you look at the differences between a team like Carolina and Tampa Bay, the main difference, as far as I'm concerned, is that Carolina is a much quicker team. And that neutral zone strategy that Hines had talked about was designed for a faster team to avoid or to prevent them from coming through that neutral zone quickly. But it's interesting how when it wasn't more about stopping them from coming through the neutral zone, but trying to get set up after being bumped out of the offensive zone and re-entering was where they really seemed to slip up. So I would expect to see a lot of changes on that between last night and tomorrow.
Sean, I've taken you from the microscopic, and now I'd like to take you out to the macro and take a look down at the division from the high ground. And taking a look at this real quick, the Carolina Hurricanes, who the Nashville Predators are in the middle of a two-game set with right now, 60 points on the season. That's tied with Tampa Bay. The Preds, of course, 0-4-1 against Carolina so far. They went 2-6 against Tampa. Florida, 1 point behind. A 2-4 record for the Preds against the Florida Panthers. So 60, 60, 59 points. And then the Preds at 49 points make up your current playoff teams. The Chase Pack, simply made up of two teams at this point in Chicago and Dallas, 4 points and 5 points back of the cutoff line, respectively. I am putting Columbus out of the conversation as of this morning, now 10 points back at 45 games played. I do not believe the Columbus Blue Jackets have anywhere near the horsepower to make up any ground. The Detroit Red Wings, I mentioned them because they continue playing spoiler, and they're having quite a bit of fun. Sean, I want you to talk about the division going down the stretch right here. Talk about the playoff race. Chicago, I laid out their schedule earlier. I laid out Dallas's schedule earlier. That Dallas schedule ending on an incredibly long road trip, that seems like a very difficult hill to overcome. And of course, Chicago has a three-game set coming up against this Nashville Predators team very soon. Talk about the division, the races, what you think is going to happen. And then, Sean, I have one follow-up about the Nashville Predators having to face off against Carolina, Tampa, and Florida this year. But first, talk me through the races. Give me an update and tell me what your thoughts are.
So I guess the biggest thing for me, if you're looking at that whole situation, is, like you said, you've got two teams in the chase pack, and that's Dallas and that's Chicago. And both of those teams, they can turn it on. Sometimes we can really just roll right through them. And it's interesting to me that you look at this previous stretch of games where the Predators have gone on this big winning streak, and not necessarily in a row, but you know, the combined efforts of those games was pretty dramatic as far as wins versus losses go. And so it's almost like you got to do all this winning just to get to a point where now you're fought your way into that spot, and now you're going to have to fight for the rest of the season to keep yourself in it. So taking a look at those three games to Chicago that are going to be coming up, I believe that's next week, I think you're going to make or break your season, or at least your postseason, on those three games. Again, the teams that are ahead of the Predators in the standings, they're ahead of the Predators in the standings by a lot. And so making sure that you can pick off a few of those wins is going to be really helpful. But when you're playing against a team like Chicago, a team that's behind you in the standings, you really have to maximize your opportunities to prevent them from earning points. Because if you can beat Chicago three more times, and you can win three more times, you're putting a huge gap between those two teams. Now, Dallas is another story entirely, because they do have those three games to make up, but they do have the long road trip. Road trips, not necessarily what you want to see, and Dallas is a team that if they get down, they stay down for a while. Problem is, if they turn it on, they take advantage of their opportunities to play three more games than everybody else, or at least the Predators are going to play, that's where you could run into, as far as I'm concerned, some issues. So what you really need to have happen is you need the Predators to pick up a few games against the top three. You need them to win against the Blackhawks, and you need Dallas to not go on a crazy run. Those things happen. I think that playoff spot's pretty secure.
Sean, from micro to macro to looking way down the line, something that I think is very important for this Nashville Predators team. Listen, getting put into this newly aligned Central Division with Carolina, Tampa Bay, and Florida this year, maybe it wasn't the most favorable draw for this Nashville Predators team, missing out on some of their more traditional opponents who aren't playing nearly as good as these three teams are. But Sean, this team went on an 8-game road trip, and they played these three teams in particular quite a bit on that, and they were forged by fire. And the team that we saw in the first half of the season is not the team that we have seen since that moment. The youth being in this lineup, the number of rookies getting the opportunities and facing off against some of the toughest NHL competition night in and night out in Carolina, Tampa, and Florida is continuing to forge the fire. I wish I had the proper verbs and terminology to speak like a blacksmith to you right here, but I see a sword that is being honed, and I see young players getting better and better every night. And just like the Carolina Hurricanes that we're watching currently have been absolutely forged by that same fire in that same division against that same competition, and add the Capitals to that as well for the Canes, this Nashville Predators team is going to benefit tremendously moving forward into the coming seasons, because they had to face off against three of the best teams in the NHL consistently this year. And I truly believe it is helping accelerate the development. It has changed everything about this team since the midpoint of the season. That 8-game road trip was one that could have broken the spirit of the back of this team, and instead has given them new life, new inspiration. And all I see is a sword that's continuing to get sharper, continuing to be refined, and a Nashville Predators franchise franchise that is going to benefit long term from having to face the grind of Carolina, Tampa, and Florida during the COVID Central Division.
Oh, 100%. The thing about those three teams that you keep mentioning is that they're not just the best in this division. They're the best in the NHL. So when you see Nashville going up against these teams, you're not just seeing them go up against teams that are very good. You're seeing them go against teams that are the very best. And so, yes, iron sharpens iron. Being forward, the hotter the fire, the stronger the steel. I don't know either. I wish I had the blacksmith terms. I guess by my last name, I should know those somewhat historically, but I don't. But the reality here is that, yeah, those young guys coming up and facing top competition, that does incredible, incredible things for these rookies. And when I talked to Carl Taylor on the phone the other day, he said, you know, look, these guys coming up, whatever they're coming up and doing, it's reinvigorated the Nashville Predators. And so you're seeing guys come in, they're getting experience, and they're getting experience against the best teams in the NHL. And that is showing their veteran teammates that they are ready to go. They're going to do everything they can to support that. And at the same time, I believe it was Rem Pitlick said yesterday, when we had him in post-practice media availability, he made the comment that, you know, getting up to game speed at the NHL has been a lot easier because all the guys on the bench are supporting that. And so there's conversations they're having, not just before the game, not after the game, but every time they go back to the bench with those rookies to point out things that have happened. And as long as those rookies are open-minded and don't come in all cocky and acting like they know everything, which I don't think any of these guys are, they are getting a breadth and just a wealth of information in game, much less before and after the game with these teams.
Sean C. Smith has taken you from the micro in each and every shift of the power play in recent action all the way through to how the division is going to shape up and projected how it's going to help this team moving forward. Sean, we believe in no half step, and that's why I want a playoff series. I don't care what team it's against. I'll take on the best. If you have an opportunity to jump up and punch the champ in the mouth, you do so. The fire continues to get hotter and hotter, and some playoff action will make this team even better. Regardless of the results, getting in there is all that matters at this point for the Nashville Predators. They've got 11 to go after this conversation wraps up. On Twitter, at SCSOTF. On theforecheck.com is where you can read his work. You can listen to him in the third period of this radio show all season long, and he is absolutely fantastic. Sean C. Smith, great hockey conversation this morning. I look forward to doing it again very, very soon.
Anytime you need me, I'll be ready to go.
Sean C. Smith right there on theforecheck.com. Appreciate that guy jumping in the trenches. That was a great conversation right there. Hope you go back and listen to that later on. If you didn't catch it live, you can do that by going to SoundCloud or WNSR.com. That's where we provide all of our shows in an on-demand world. We know you can't always jump up live at 5 a.m. on game days or when we announce a sudden Predneck takeover. We understand. That's why we provide the show completely for free to you in an on-demand world at WNSR.com. If you want to go back and check our work, 500-plus episodes there, all listed for you, nice and chronologically, including all of the other bits we've highlighted, isolated, separated out, and my appearances on the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show, and my appearances, frankly, anywhere else across Nashville Sports Radio. I am, after all, the leader of the hockey coverage here at Nashville Sports Radio, and Nashville Sports Radio has been doing it for over 20 years, and they've been bringing hockey conversations to you in the mainstream. I am getting a lot of reactions and a lot of support from Renegades of Puck out there. You have no idea how many Renegades there truly are. We're big in Swamp Rabbits country right now, everybody. I got to tell you, over in Greenville, South Carolina, picking up some new listeners. The trenches are always expanding. One listener at a time, one Renegade at a time, one foot at a time. This show is continuing to grow. We are continuing to get bigger and better. Nobody does it better than the Renegades, and we're going to continue adding to our numbers. Every one of you knows a Renegade, so find them. Get them the links and get them in the trenches. Playoff madness is about to set in full speed ahead, and we're going to need each and every one of you at the ready. Renegades of Puck to the trenches. Calling all Renegades. I need each and every one of you. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio right here on Nashville Sports Radio. You are in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck.
I'm Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Yes, Matt Duchesne. Stop going on radio shows and telling everyone you're going to be coming back in a couple of days and then not coming back in a couple of days. So ready to see Matthew Shane, Philip Forsberg, Ellie Tolvanen, and all the other impact players back in the lineup. Unfortunately for this Nashville Predators, the injury storyline has been something all season long. But these have led to new opportunities. We would have never known about Olivier. We would have never known about Janot, Pitlick. All of these young players have come up making a huge impact in this Nashville Predators lineup are doing so because other players, unfortunately, have gone out injured and have been out injured for a while. But we're seeing a new alignment of this Nashville Predators roster. We're seeing players that are hopefully coming back healthy very soon. And while I kid about Matt Duchene and his injury updates, I'd just like to have more information about the injury timelines overall. I feel like it's been a very gray area this season, and in the past, we've been able to get more information. Of course, we've had more access in the past. A lot of different restrictions have led to a lot of things slipping through the cracks this year. We've done the best we can, and we'll continue to do the best we can right here on Predneck Nation Radio. I mentioned before we went to break how the trenches are expanding far and wide, one foot at a time, one listener at a time, one renegade at a time. I want to mention some great listeners down on the Florida coast. You may be in Bolts country, but you are all Smashville, and appreciate you, Georgia Dog, down there in Florida, and each and every one of you listening on the coast. Leading into the Bill King Show here in just a couple of minutes, the best lead-in show you could possibly have. You want the best hockey talk on the radio, you come to this radio show. When you want to follow that up with the best college football talk, and it's been doing it for over 30 years, well, then you go to the Bill King Show, and he'll be up next. Then, of course, you'll hear me on the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show between 9 and 11 this morning, talking much of the same things that we're talking right now. Couple of box score notes, because I didn't get a chance to get to those in the last segment because I wanted to get to Sean C. Smith and get all that info. Holla, your only goal scorer last night. Sissons picks up an assist as well as Ben Harper. Shots on goal led by Holla as well. 4. He tried to will the Predators back into this game. Janot, another big night on the physical side of things. 7 hits in the game. Sissons also adds 3 hits. Benning adds 3 hits. Your time on ice leaders. It's been Mikael Granlund for quite some time, so this is noteworthy. Victor Arvidsson, 2014 in time on ice, led the Nashville Predators last night. Anyone who had 417 in power play and time on ice, which is Arvidsson, which is Granlund, which is Johansson, no good. It wasn't good enough last night. Absolutely not. Chauncey Smith has done a great job of already covering that. And when it comes to in net, UC Saros was 25 out of 29 and took the loss. First time he's given up that many goals in quite some time. Here to talk to me about more numbers, he is, of course, the leader of the Renegade Analytics Desk. You can find his charts and his work over at onthefourcheck.com. Trust me, you need to see those. And he's also got the numbers that you need to know. On Twitter, at Brian Baston. You can also hear him in this radio show, closing out the show all season long when I don't freeze out his minutes. Ryan Baston, good morning. Talk to me. Tell me about your one big stat for today.
Well, I've got a few things I want to talk about real quick. One of the things you just mentioned was talking about not knowing about Matthew Olivier and Tanner Janot and Rem Pitlick. But let me tell you guys, if there's one person you want to look at that knows everything about these guys from their days playing, you know, junior league hockey and in the second league of Czechoslovakia, we've got the guy on the forecheck. Eric Junet is probably one of the smartest, best prospect writers in the business, not just for Nashville, but in the business. And year after year, when they do the draft predictions, he finishes in the top 10. I think a couple years ago, when they did the first round predictions, he finished, I think, 3rd, right behind Colin Cudmore and people like that. So make sure that you guys are watching him. And in fact, I say that because today on thefourcheck.com, you'll be able to see his first draft of his draft rankings this year. So make sure you guys are watching out for that. Like I said, he is the best in the business, and we're just waiting for some NHL team to come scoop him up because you don't get any much better. Now, you talk about, you know, much like this show starts off strong, stays strong, and ends strong. At least I hope so. I'd like to think so. And one of the things this month and throughout the season, one of the recurring things that I've noticed with Nashville is that the beginning and end of periods, they've been struggling quite a bit. Of the 127 goals that are scored against them, not counting shootout goals, Nashville has allowed 30 goals in the final 2 minutes of a period or in the first 2 minutes of a period. The other day when I was at Bridgestone Arena covering the Tampa Bay game, the 7-2 win, I made a note that Nashville has had some struggles when they entered the intermission in the middle of a penalty kill. And sure enough, they came back and they scored within 40 seconds of coming back into the game. And that's something that's been happening quite a bit. It happened again yesterday, twice, in the final 2 minutes of the first period. And then Carolina scored once again in the 14 seconds into the second. The 30 out of 127 of the goals scored against have happened in that. And it's hard to nail down exactly what that is because it's hard. You know, a lot of times when you come at the end of the period, teams are –
They're tired. They're usually trying to just skate out the clock a little bit. But when they do that on the penalty kill, Nashville is a team that has to focus up on finishing a period out strong, hopefully maybe getting a counterattack by Eric Halla, one of the things that he's been excellent at this season. And just coming back from an intermission, fully rested, so tiredness isn't an excuse, and playing good defense and locking down. Because, again, if you have a good penalty kill, you can generate momentum on that penalty kill and get pressure the other way as you come off of it. And it can be very, very rewarding for this team. But that's something that they're going to have to do, is they're going to have to start out periods much stronger, and they're going to have to finish their periods much stronger than they have been. In fact, eight of those 30 goals that have been scored in the first two or the final 2 minutes of a period have happened this month. So it's something that they've got to focus on, they've got to work on. Because, again, it's very important that they finish strong, and nowhere is that more important than this season. So you talked about the playoff race, and, yeah, you are correct about Columbus and Detroit and all essentially being out. I think they still – both Columbus and Detroit, I think they've got a – I guess it's not a magic number if it's the number of points you need to lose to make the playoffs. A tragic number, I suppose, since that rhymes. And I believe that 13 points for Columbus and 12 for Detroit – either 12 or 13 points lost by them or points won by Nashville will knock them out of the playoffs officially. But with Chicago and Dallas actually are still, again, just right behind Nashville in the standings. Dallas has those games in hand. And, in fact, Dallas, their possible point max right now is 72 and Nashville is 71, just by judging by how many games that they have left. Chicago's is 69. And so the whole point of this is to accumulate those points, and again, it is super important. They've got this game against Carolina on tomorrow, which is going to be very important. But after that, next week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, three games against that team from up north in Chicago, and that will probably decide, you know, winning two out of three of those games will probably decide, you know, who's in the driver's seat to finish off the rest of the season. So Nashville, again, just like they do when they're on the ice, they have to finish this season strong, because they've got, in a season, the schedule doesn't get too much easier. They got three games in Chicago, a doubleheader Monday, Tuesday, back to back at home with Florida, and then Dallas, two games to Columbus, and then to end the season, two games at home against Carolina, Monday, the 10th of May, which very well may be a game that I'll luckily get to be there for, but may very well be the final home regular season game for goaltender Pekka Rinne.
Ryan Bastin just dropped that team up north when referring to the Chicago Blackhawks, and the audience that's following up and just tuning in will love hearing a reference like that. You can find him on Twitter at Brian Bastin. You can track his work at onthefourcheck.com. He's got the charts you need to see and the numbers you need to know. He is Brian Bastin from the Renegade Analytics Desk. Brian, thank you so much for jumping in the trenches with me this morning.
No problem. I'd love to do it. I'll see you again.
For Brian Bastin, for Sean C. Smith, Mostradamus is going to tweet out his numbers. The Ulti One is going to be back next episode. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonia. Remember, check out WNSR.com. Download that WNSR app. Completely free ways for you to listen to this radio show. And we appreciate the partnership with Nashville Sports Radio. This has been a Prinnick takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonia. You have been in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck. Stick taps, love, and respect.